So, welcome back. One thing is that, well, you have this book from Deacon Ed, and it reminded me that probably I forgot to tell last meeting. If I told that, stop me. He sent me an email because he visited Romania recently, and he went to many monasteries there, and he visited a grave of relics, actually, of Saint Paisil Velichkovsky. Paisil Velichkovsky is the monk who put together Philokalia, this collection of writings, and so he told me that he visited these relics like several times, and he was praying for this group too, you know, and for other groups which are following this way how Paisil Velichkovsky was started. Paisil Velichkovsky, he not only bring back from made new translations of these works of Holy Fathers, and he put together Philokalia, this collection of writing of saints, but he introduced this teaching he was studying to his brotherhood, and from his life, we know that what he was doing was that every evening he gathered monks and he read a little bit from these works of saints, and then he gave explanation of this. And this is like ancient practice, and he renewed that, and he has a tremendous effect on people. And monks, and it brought this, in the end, this huge renewal. So this is one thing that, well, he was thinking and praying this big saint for this group. And then he sent me another email, because when he was in Romania, he noticed and was impressed with this deep spirituality he was encountering. People, pious life. He said that he went to visit one elder, one monk, and he said he had to wait 5 hours in line to talk to him for a few minutes, you know, and to receive his blessing. So it was something that was impressive. He said it was not that old people, it was like young families, young people, all generations, and well, to stand in line for 5 hours to listen to some kind of wisdom and to receive blessing from this elder, it was something. You know, I cannot imagine that. Can you imagine somebody would wait in line just to get for this book study? I don't think so. To listen, Briancha, you know.
Concert tickets, on the other
hand. Yeah, well. So he was impressed by that, and so and he heard there that one of these reasons for this renewal or this deep spiritual life, which was in Romania, so came from Patriarch Daniel, and so he probably, I don't know that, but he sent me several screenshots from a book probably written by him or about him, and there was like some kind of summary what was the program of that patriarch, not only for monks, priests, but for all parishes. And there was 4 points, and I remember now two. First was rediscover tradition of spiritual life. So this is what we are doing. This was a huge thing. He insisted that it has to go not only among clergy and monastics, but in each parish. The second was liturgical life. More intensive spiritual life. And there was others, and I don't remember now. So it was, for me, I was very thankful that he sent me that, because for me it was like confirmation that what we are doing, it's not something what is like some kind of our invention, but that it is something what we know already brought even in last century and this century, enormous fruit, spiritual revival in one whole country, Romania is. And I can, I was not surprised when he was talking about his experience, because in 2000, well, it was 2010, we were invited to come to United States by one of our friends and to visit him. Father Elias, you know him, but we didn't get visas. So I was very upset at the time. I said, well, okay, if, because it was supposed to be our vacation after like even 11 years, you know, so I said, so if we're not going to United States or we are going to Greece and by car, and we will visit all these monasteries with time beach so we went through by cars through Hungary and then Romania, Bulgaria, and to Greece. Romania had like bad like fame. When I told that, well, somebody said we are going by cars to Romania, they said, oh, don't dare to stop there somewhere, because there are a lot of like this, they rob this travelers, and it's very dangerous. Don't stop, just go through nonstop. And I read on the internet, well, there are warnings like everywhere. So when we entered Romania, so yes, it was like nonstop. Like travels through, and but it was difficult to travel because it's not like highways, you know. See what? As I said, we were traveling through some kind of like mountains. Some trees. I said, well, it's good that there are trees around, you know, and not some kind of criminals, you know. But morning, we went through one city, not big city. I don't remember the name. And in the middle of the city, you had this experience that these gypsies started to knock on the windows when you stop on the light. They were asking for money. So, well, based on information on the internet, I had some change, so I gave them. And we continued, and suddenly our car stopped in the middle of the city. Not really middle of city, but in the part which was very suspicious part, you know. And I don't know what happened, you know, so we stopped, even on a place when we are not supposed to stop, you know, there's like this sign. So I opened like front of the car, and I saw immediately that there was one pipe which led to what cools. Water was broken. You could see that like, oh, I said, oh my, it's what now? We are in the middle of our journey. We are in Romania. Everybody gave warning to us. She was stressed. Miron was stressed. I said, well, we will find solution, you know. So I went to one store which was there. And I said, well, I try English, and thanks God, the lady, young lady, she was able to answer me. She said, well, I was asking for a garage or service, you know, who can help us. I said, well, if I wait 15 minutes, his boyfriend is coming and he will help us. I said, good. So I waited. This is her boyfriend came. He looked. I said, well, okay. he told, let's go through garages, he knows, to ask if they have this piece. So I left them in the middle of the city. I went with him in his car, and they, I don't know what they were doing, but it was quite an experience, because we went to one garage, we enter in, and first what I saw, you know, this garage, not like here, it's beautiful, it was really a garage, it was dirty, this man, there were like oiled, dirty hands and everything, and noise, but in the front, this big hall, there was Icon Theotokos and Lampada in front of them. And this guy who took me there, what he did, he bowed, and then he went to, I said, oh my, so those people are liars who said it's dangerous country. I never saw it in garage, something like that. And so I thought, well, very pious, probably owner of this garage, you know, but they didn't have this part. So we went to another garage, another, no luck. They said, oh, we can order, but it would be here like next day or following day. But in each garage, this experience repeated. I was impressed. So he took me back and he said, well, he had to go. I said, well, if there is something he can help, I should tell her, his girlfriend, and she would tell. So what I did was that, well, they were stressed, and I said, we have to somehow to move on, you know. So as a boy from village, I looked at this again. I said, well, I can fix that. So I took plastic bags, two or three. I made it around, but it didn't hold. I said, it doesn't work. So I went back to the store. I said, sell me duct tape. So she sold me that. Well, I made this around. I said, well, we will try to go. If there is a problem in Greece, we will get it fixed. So we went, after like half hour, I checked it, it held it, you know. So we went to Greece, we returned back, and this pipe was replaced after like 3 years later. It worked so well, I really fixed that very, very well. It was a wonderful experience, you know, this. So what Deacon Ed told me, it was not a surprise.
I was on the internet and watching a tour of the International Space Station. So one of the American tourists, astronauts, was taking you on a tour of the space station. And he pointed to the entrance. There's a separate pod for the Russians. There's one for the Americans. And he pointed, that's the Russian residence over there. That's where they live. And on the entrance was an icon of the Theotokos and Pankreator.
Yeah.
They have so little. They go by ounces what they're allowed to bring up there, you know. And they decided that it was worth it to bring that stuff, mm-hmm. those two things up there. You know? They didn't have the little lamps there, because that wouldn't be good. Well, the flames.
And, you know, this was, even this experience, you know, that when you saw, and it was not only the guy who brought me there, but while he was talking to others, asking about, explaining what I need. I noticed those customers who were coming in, all of them, at first it was like, give a reverence to Icon. They didn't kiss because it was too high. But I was impressed, and one intensive, like, emotion was in me. I knew that I am among my own. You know, this was even in different country, and you can understand world from those. But seeing that, I said, well, I have nothing to afraid of, because we are on the same boat. You know, that it was amazing feeling that. And now probably it explains, because if this Peter Daniel, it was not recently, really, it was many years ago when he started this. So there are several generations who are formed by this, his instructions on the reform. And Romania has a lot of saints who were forming, even during communists, this country in faith. So it was something.
Especially the martyr bishops.
Sure, bishops, there were martyrs, but there were like elders who, for example, the main of them was this elder Cleopa, you know about him, and they call him that he was spiritual father of Romania. Very, very significant, very among this impressive life. He spent years in prison, and they didn't break, and then was many others. So actually he didn't spend many years in prison. He had different vocation, but another, well, anyway, let's go back to Brianza, you know, maybe we can make some progress. So we will continue on page 243, the third paragraph from the.
Do not search for Christian perfection in human virtues. There you will not find it, because it is hidden in the cross of Christ. My cross becomes the cross of Christ when I, a disciple of Christ, carry it with an active knowledge of my own sinfulness, admitting I am worthy of death. And when I carry it with gratitude to Christ, with praise for Christ, from praise and thanksgiving, spiritual consolation appears in the sufferer. Praise and thanksgiving become an endless source of unutterable, undying joy that fills the heart, overflows into the soul, and even unto the body itself.
We can have this impression that Saint Ignatius just repeats his advices or words from previous paragraphs, but it is just, it's not true. He just wants us to receive this teaching about Christ deeply to our heart. And in this, he follows teaching of Saint Isaac Syrian, because the Syrian, he reminds us all time that, and not only he, other spiritual these teachers, but he reminds us the cross is always present in us, in our life. And the cross is this good instructor sent by God, which is supposed to form us, to bring us closer to him. He says that Christ is something what shapes our life in God. And without that, we are not able to enter to this intimacy with Christ. And we know that our more intensive prayer is in time of suffering. When we suffer, and many times we don't see reasons for this our suffering. So at the time, it is when we turn to Christ, when we really beg with intensity, and we cry upon God that help us, give me strength to go through. And Saint Isaac, he says that we are not alone in this suffering when we receive the cross. Because he said that don't think that you are able to endure the cross only by your powers. That is, God's help is always present, even if we don't feel that at the time. I think in one place he talks about that we are like these jars from clay, and he said, well, these jars of clay will not hold water until they are not hardened by fire. And he said, in the midst of these temptations, of these trials and crosses, God's grace, God's help does this for us, that when we accept that, we try to endure, so his help comes and with some kind of like fire makes us hard enough to carry this situation. And he says something Brianchen, you know, is talking about. He goes from carrying cross to praise and thanksgiving and consolation and joy without stop, which fills heart and body totally. And this is something that we have to, there is a spiritual law that each trial, each cross is followed by God's gift. Always when we endure the cross, something we are receiving from God, which many times we cannot identify, but suddenly quality, I would say, if it's not the right word, but quality of life, spiritual life and life in wholeness is increased. And many times we cannot recognize immediately that, but usually when we take a look back after several years and we recall this, our suffering, this our cross we were carrying, that so then, and then we see what followed, we realize without that cross I would not be what I am today. And many times we cannot identify what is that, but it is positive change in our life. So from all these holy teachers of spiritual life, we can hear the same. Don't be afraid of Christ. They say, well, be aware of God's help. Receive it with confidence that help is on the way. Endure that even if it is painful, accord God's will, and it will bring benefit to you. And he says, mentioning these words, that Christian perfectness, holiness, is possible only through Christ. You know, because if there are no trials, there is no this fight in us with temptation, with trials, whatever, if there is, we don't have this, we don't experience that, so it means that we are on very wrong path. Cross is indication of correctness. You know, because, well, those who don't walk on the path to salvation, they don't suffer a lot of. Because demons don't attack those who already belong to them. You know? Only belongs to those who belong to God, because they want to change this. And be sure that, well, this is tough, really tough to carry cross in many forms. But we have to have this confidence that God is on our side during this our spiritual warfare. Can we continue, or you want something to add? All right, so let's continue.
The cross of Christ is a cruel sight only to those who see things with the eyes of the body. The disciple and follower of Christ sees it as a source of spiritual joy. So great is this joy that sorrows are completely muted by it, and the follower of Christ feels only joy, even amid the most horrifying pain. The young wife Mavra said the following to her young husband Timothy when he was suffering terrible tortures and invited her to join him in dying for Christ. "I am afraid, my brother, that I will not be able to stand firm when I see the horrors of the angered torturer. I will not be able to bear them because of my youth." Her husband answered her, "Put your trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, and these tortures will feel like healing oil pouring over your body, giving you relief from your diseases."
Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Branchino is talking about special God's help, which we receive when we carry cross. Special God's help, which gives us strength to endure pain of the cross. And maybe he's choosing the most extreme example for that, he's giving this example of these young martyrs. But if we read this life of saints, especially martyrs, it is something what repeats all time. That somehow they had power to endure these tortures. And we can say, okay, this might be like this life of saints who lived almost 2,000 years ago. Well, it can be like they might bring some kind of ornaments there, that to make it nicer. But we were talking before we started about the situation in my country before. We got freedom, and when you hear what tortures was implied on those who were in prisons, bishops and priests and monks, so I would die several times if I am exposed to these things. And they were able to survive that without complaining. And this is amazing. Like, we have this Archbishop Bishop Gojdič, and if you read this, I was on the board for a while, who was preparing this his beatification, this process. So I read several of these materials which was gathered, and these reports of these torturers who were investigating him, and just you know, to stand barefoot, you know, in the small cell isolation in winter on cold concrete, and even not with this not even like floor, and it was so narrow that you couldn't like go down, you could only stand. Mm-hmm. If you lean towards like wall, so when guards saw that, so automatically more days were added to this. I thought, well, I would die only from that. I would not survive that, because in winter, when their feet were frozen, you know that. So for me to read, and others, and I don't want to mention others because I don't remember details, but it was somehow clear that without special God's help, they would be not able to survive that. And it was not Bishop Koich, there were others who really suffered enormous pain, and they survived. They survived, and well, in the end they were killed, but this torture, this pain of torture was, they felt this pain, but there was this special help from above that they were able to endure that. And even through this huge testimony about their faith, about God, was given. Because they, these cops or whatever, these guards, they couldn't understand what is going on. So if, and those, we have material, we have documents, we have papers, we have reports from these cops, investigators, and they wrote everything. They you have these reports given to Gaokumu's government, and they say, well, they survived this harsh and cruel, you know, environment, because they wanted them to die, you know, without some kind of signs of that really killing. They could say, well, this was natural death, but they were waiting for the death. So you can see that. And not only that, I remember one lady in our first parish, when we came there, her mother got like a stroke, and she was like, she couldn't move, she could move only with head. So her daughter, well, at the time it started this some kind of, now it is like here that you have special institutions who take care of this. At the time everything was in the beginning of building. So, but she said, well, this happened. She left work. She was widow. She depended on this income. So she started to take care of her mother. She got just some kind of benefits from state, which was really low. So she was like taking her mother. When she mother fell asleep, she went immediately outside to work on the big garden fields, you know, because this was like source of how to survive, and ran back. But every day she came for the liturgy, and I was visiting that lady, and we were trying to help in some kind of, we couldn't do much, but at least, but coming there to give communion to her mother and to seeing this cross, I said, I couldn't imagine I would be able to do this. I probably not, but she was. And it was like several years, I think 5 or 7 years she was, because we were already in another parish when I heard that her mother died. And it was not only easy that to take care of all these needs, but her mother was really a piece of woman. You know, she was like she couldn't move, but she was given order like old general, you know. And she was not nice to her. And in my mind, this lady is martyr. And everybody said this, I don't understand how she can do this. There are many things, and probably if you start to recall some kind of stories and memories of people who went through difficult cross, and you look to their lives and you say, well, it's amazing. How could they survive that? So if God gave special power to these martyrs in prisons, to those people who really carry very hard cross without complaining, trusting God, and they are able to go through. So for sure, even in our crosses, which probably are not so heavy yet, God will give us the same power for that heaviness we are carrying now. Because without His help, we will be not able to do this. You know, he's saying this, Brechner, he says that the cross of Christ is cruel sight, not only for those who see things with eyes of the body. This is something what the world cannot understand. And even we cannot understand until we don't identify this cross we are carrying with Christ's cross, when we don't realize it is good instructor and the intention is to push us up, to nourish us more, to emerge us more into life of Christ. All right. Somebody wants to add something? Oh, okay. So let's continue. Let's finish the chapter.
Okay. The cross is power and glory of all the saints that ever lived. The cross is a healer of passions, a destroyer of demons. The cross is a death dealer to those who have not transformed their own cross into the cross of Christ, who complain about God's providence from their cross, who blaspheme Him, and who give themselves up to the hopelessness and despair. Sinners who remain unrepentant and ignorant on their cross will die an eternal death, bereft of the true life in God because of their lack of patience. They come down from their cross only to go down with their souls into the eternal tomb, the prisons of hell. The cross of Christ raises the crucified disciple of Christ from the earth. The disciple of Christ, who is crucified on His cross, thinks only of the heights. With his mind and heart, he lives only in heaven, already seeing the mysteries of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen.
Yeah. Well, in this end of this chapter, Brancino puts in front of us two alternatives. And there is no other way. Either we accept cross or not. We are, if this, look, to refuse Christ, cross, it means to refuse Christ and to refuse the gospel. Why I'm saying that? Because in the end, if we investigate each cross, so we can find direct connection with something what is in our present in our life. As we heard, and we were talking about that, that real cross comes when we try to follow God's commandments. And we know that because when we hear what God is telling us in gospel, many times there is this resistance in us that while we are refusing that, it's too hard. And we are searching for easy way how to understand these words without causing big harm, big pain to us. Because each this commandment we hear from Christ's mouth demands death of this old man in us, old person in us. May new is born. We have already, and we are formed that we have our own views, how we see world, how we see our life, how we see relationship, how we understand religious life. And suddenly some things uncovered or revealed to us from gospel, which says, well, you should do this. And suddenly this, like, I said, well, I see that my understanding was very shallow and it was just pleasing to me. And suddenly God calls me really to radical decision, radical change. I am terrified. Not terrified because I don't want to be holy. I am terrified because I see that this transformation would be painful. Because many times it means to conquer our passions or bad habits, or it means to change way how I live and to endure even like laughing of others, to endure this shaking of heads of my friends. They would not understand why I'm doing that, to endure this feeling that while others, they consider this my acting as a foolishness, that I'm not right. This pain which is caused by losing our friends. Many times people we love and it's difficult for us, really difficult. And still, we have to, at these moments, we have to make this decision to, oh, somebody is sending messages to me. Sorry about that, I forgot. Mute my phone. But still, in this situation, there is this alternative Brian Chenius is talking about. You can go down from the cross. But cross is this door to eternal life. If you leave this cross, if you go down, if you choose easier life, if you choose this compromise, you are losing everything. You are losing life, eternal life. Even here you are losing a lot of, many times we choose like easier way, not so painful way, in order to preserve some kind of happiness in our life. And we don't realize that maybe at the moment we are not, in the moment we are keeping this some kind of painless moment in our life, but in the end, it will just bring us more suffering. And otherwise, surviving this cross brings us some kind of God's gift. We are talking about that, this transformation of ourselves which brings us joy which is not from this world. Every day we have to react to many situations and which really are choosing, we have to choose between those two alternatives, to receive cross, take it, undergo pain of cross, shame of cross, craziness of cross, or to run away and to lose everything. Difficult teaching. We sanitized like cross in previous years. We are talking about cross and everything, but I think we lost this sharpness of cross, which is present in our life, by ignoring to choose. Actually, we were many times here, it is not criticism, but many times I would blame, not blame, it's, I think that this connection with this tradition of spiritual life causes that without that wisdom we are making wrong conclusions and giving wrong advices. My classmate from seminary, when we were ordained, and well, we met relatively often with few of them. We were in touch on a biblical basis, and so we are sharing these our first experiences. And one of them, he told me that there was one situation in his parish, and he said, well, I gave that lady this advice. I'm not going there, it's not important. And I said, this was great advice. No, you really brought consolation to her. You know, good, I have to remember that, I thought. I said, he's good spiritual father, you know, he really picked out her soul. He brought consolation. There was admiration, you know, I said, well, he's good. And I remember that week or 2 weeks later, he told me, you know, we are both stupid. Because I said, okay, you made good advice. So he shared this story with an older priest, and because he wanted to get praise from him too, so how he's good, and that priest gave him like lecture. You said, you are not there to please. You should try to help. And he explained, and then my friend, he realized, and then I, that it was bad advice, which was just pushed that lady even deeper to her problem. It was not solution for her problem. It was, for me, it was so strong experience. I realized that if you love, it doesn't mean that, if you try to love, it doesn't mean to remove that cross from person. You know, you should encourage to enter and to give hug to this cross, because this is something what is healing. And he, and I approved that at the time, he made some cheap consolation, you know, that, and he looked nice, words he said were nice, and then the lady, she was pleased, and probably she even got relieved, but it was wrong advice because it didn't help her to solve this situation, this problem correctly. she stayed in some kind of problem. So I think that and we were doing that, and many times in this like this desire to love our neighbor, this desire to show God's mercy and everything, we were not able to see the cross people were carrying at the time, and we gave very bad advices. Priests, many, I would say, I come myself there, that it was just, we just showed them way how to run away from cross instead of how to endure the cross. And don't take me wrong, it was not from any like conspiracy or something. It was just because this lack of this knowledge of that wisdom of saints, because this tradition was disconnected. Nobody formed us in this way. So many times we were doing like trying to love, to be merciful, to be gentle, but we were not able to recognize this healing power of cross many times. So we have now several generations of Christians who don't see cross in its sharpness, painless, and how beneficial it is many times. And they were not formed how to carry that with courage, how to endure the cross, how to really cry upon God and to ask for help, and this help is coming. And because of that, we are not receiving many of these higher gifts which are prepared for us, which follow cross. I am simplifying this a little bit, but this is something what is the spiritual law. And we in the depths of our heart, we understand that. Because we all understand that, well, the path to salvation leads in the same way, there is the same path as Christ was taking. And there was path of cross. And we know that if we follow him, so we have to expect crucifixion in many forms. Because, well, maybe we don't understand why God totally, we don't have clear understanding why God chose this way. But it's God's will, and it will be not changed. Christianity is tough religion, you know, and very tough, All right. Do you want something to add? I am not going to add a new chapter. I want to make it longer, this book study. So we will wait for next time with Cup of Christ. But actually, it is just. Somehow we are going to continue in this with this theme of cross even in this chapter, next chapter. No comments, nothing. Good. Yes?
Yes. So suffering is the cross of Christ, or is our response to suffering is taking it. His cross.
Yeah.
Is this regarding all suffering? We go
yes.
through all periods. Sometimes we're not suffering, sometimes we are. But all suffering then, and whether it is the cross of Christ or not, depends strictly on our choice of how we are going to live in it.
We touched in previous like book studies about that. Look, each suffering can become Christ's cross. It depends on our intention, how we approach this suffering. Because sometimes it might be, look, it might be that we suffer because somebody, I would say that somebody is spreading bad stories about you. No justice there. And you are suffering because your fame, your whole life is destroyed in the eyes of many people. And you cannot do anything with that. Well, but if you approach it, okay, this is my cross. And I don't understand why this is going on. And if you endure that with forgiveness, patience, with praying for this, your enemy. So, you know, you are changing this evil thing to cross which you can identify with Christ cross. Does that make sense?
Maybe.
All right. We can talk about that. We see the blessing.